Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. So listen for the word of God. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And our second reading comes from Mark 8, verses 31 through 38. So again, listen for the word of God. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you that you have given us these verses of Scripture to ponder this morning. And as we do that, we ask that your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts, that they may be found blessed in your sight. Amen. You want to know what the most common question that is asked this time of year? Yeah, you know it, don't you? The question is your bracket busted? Right, Mary? Any fan of college basketball would know what I'm talking about, which is, of course, the NCAA basketball tournament, where fans try to predict who's going to win each of those games in the tournament. Many of us participate in this fun exercise. I do. I pick teams that I think are going to win in each round and hope I get most of them right. And in a way, it makes the tournament more fun, especially if your favorite college team didn't even make the tournament. This year, my favorite college team, Purdue, did make the tournament. In fact, it was a number 3 seed, and there was a lot of talk that this might be their year, that at least they would go to the Final Four. Now, Purdue has never won the tournament, hasn't even made the Final Four since 1980. But this year, there were hopes that it was going to be different. This year, we just might make it. After all, we had all these things going for us. We had height, we had shooters, we had quickness, we had athletes, we had experience, we had a coach. Purdue had everything this year. And of course, they lost in the 3rd round, not even close to the Final Four. I couldn't even watch the end of the game. then maybe I should have been prepared for it. After all, I'm from Chicago, where the Chicago Cubs baseball teams made losing into an art form. And yet there is something about losing that strikes a chord in all of us, doesn't it? Maybe it is the Charlie Brown syndrome. You remember that comic strip character, Charlie Brown, who never won at anything, not in baseball, not in kite flying, not in love. He couldn't even kick that football that Lucy held out for him every fall, the one that she pulled away just as he ran up to kick it. Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts comic strip, once asked, would he ever let Charlie Brown win at something? Schulz replied that he couldn't do that, for then, as he said, Charlie Brown would no longer be Charlie Brown. There is something in Charlie Brown that touches all of us, because for all of us, life is very much a losing proposition. Graham Greene wrote in his book, The Heart of the Matter, in human love, there is never such a thing as victory, only a few minor tactical successes before the final defeat of death or indifference. And what Greene wrote about love could apply to life as a whole. We are trying to make the most of our tactical successes, knowing that we are only holding off defeat. But we're geared towards winning, aren't we? That's what we strive for. Years ago, the Chicago Bulls basketball team showed Chicago fans what winning was all about by winning 3 championships in a row. Then after losing in the playoffs for 2 years, they won 3 more championships in a row. But I don't think the Chicago Bulls fans really enjoyed their team's success. Instead, the day after they won it all, Chicago fans began to worry about whether they would win it all again the next year. And when they lost, after they had won the first 3 championships, I remember a newspaper column written by the great columnist Mike Royko, a lifelong Chicagoan, and he wrote, "The Bulls did us a favor in losing to the Knicks." That's right. He said it was a favor to Bulls fans that the Bulls lost. Royko wrote that instead of disappointment at not winning a 4th championship, he felt relieved. Relieved that he no longer had to endure the stress of wondering when they were going to win again. The agony of success was over. For Royko, it was becoming much too much effort to support a team that always won. The worry about whether they would win again was too much, he wrote. Royko went on, that's why Chicago Cubs baseball fans are so fortunate. They jam so much stress into the first few weeks of the season, there's nothing left to worry about. But Royko may have been onto something. The efforts at winning can be more stressful than losing. That is because deep down we know that we will eventually lose. And we try to hold it off as long as we can. But we are driven to win, to succeed, to seek victory and hold off defeat. And that's how we try to live our lives, don't we? Trying to win and not to lose. We run ourselves ragged trying to maintain our success. But we know that we are only as good as our last victory, and we live in fear of our next defeat. Perhaps that is why we identify with Charlie Brown. We know that we are closer to defeat than we care to admit. That's why perhaps Schulz was right. We need our Charlie Browns. We need him for no other reason to remind us that defeat is not the end. Despite missing that ball every time, Charlie Brown still runs up to kick it. Even though he never gets that kite to fly, he still keeps sending it up there. We need Charlie Brown to remind us of this truth. A while back, I was reading an article about John Knox, who was founder of the Church of Scotland, which became the Presbyterian Church here in America. The article reminded me that Knox was a galley slave. For 18 months, He was sentenced to help row a giant boat around the Atlantic Ocean. After 19 months, he was released. But as the article said, there can be little doubt that the experience stiffened his resolve. 9 years later, the Scottish Parliament voted in the Scottish Reformation. What was a loss for Knox was a win for God and for the Protestant Reformation. Of course, the ultimate triumph of losing comes on the cross. It was on the cross that all was lost, even the Son of God, and yet it was on the cross that God was able to make the ultimate victory come about. We celebrate the resurrection as a victory that wins out over defeat, especially over death. Yet the cross is also the source of our greatest strength, for through the cross we understand God's power more fully. Life may have its ups and downs, and often more downs than ups. But the cross is there to remind us that God makes even our down moments uplifting, our weakest moments strongest. Paul said so much in his letter to the Philippians, where he talked about Christ emptying himself, taking that defeat. God lifted Christ up to display the power of God. As you know, I have been on vacation this past week. One of the places that Kathy and I visited was Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico. If you ever get a chance to go see this natural wonder, I would recommend it. It is beyond description. Kathy and I took the tour of the caverns, which takes you down 750 feet below the surface of the earth to what they call the Big Room. And that is much too small of a name. The room is the largest cave chamber in North America. It is approximately 4,000 feet long, 625 feet wide, 255 feet high. You could fit, because I have no idea how big that is, but you could fit over 6 football fields inside this one chamber. That I can picture. The chamber was formed along 2 fissures in the limestone that run perpendicular to each other, which means the Big Room is actually a big cross. And if you stand at the center of this cross, you can still see the fissures in the ceilings forming a cross across the top of the cave, some 250 feet above where you're standing. The information plaque at that point in the cave said that where the 2 fissures meet at the top of the cave, that cross is the strongest point in the cave. Now, I don't know anything about geology, so I can't tell you why the intersection of 2 fissures, 2 cracks in the limestone, are the strongest part of the cave. But as a theologian, I thoroughly understand. For the strongest point of the whole created world is the center of the cross. And I know that, and I can affirm that. Amen.